Right. So we have Bicentennial of Brunswick. And we have with us Jeff Neider, who joins us, the communications director with the city, here for talking about the Bicentennial. Is there a specific date for the Bicentennial for Brunswick?
The actual town was founded, the first settlers arrived here on March 4th. So this actually started, you know, earlier on in the year. Okay. So it's been going on all year long.
Sure.
We've had celebrations and activities going on throughout the year.
Jeff, how do we know March 4th?
How do we know March 4th?
Yeah.
I don't know, other than the founding of Brunswick.
Okay.
Somebody has it on a piece of paper somewhere written there, it says, as well.
That they showed up on March 4th.
Right. Is Brunswick one of those communities from, like, the Western Reserve, or the people from Connecticut picked out land?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. That's exactly how it was. The first settlers were the Deming brothers, and they actually were the ones that came here. Brunswick was chosen as a settling site because of the farmland and the quality of the soil, and most people don't know, but when you look at Brunswick today, this was originally chosen because of the potato fields. I mean, it was a good place for them to grow potatoes, and that's what Brunswick was founded on.
Okay.
Now, it's probably hard to even find anybody growing potatoes around here, but that's where we started out.
Well, usually you find there is some history somewhere that you can find along the way, but many communities are formed either on a river or near something like this. But obviously farming, being able to cultivate food crops, is important.
Sure.
For somebody in the community.
Sure. And I mean, as far as, you know, when we did research, and I'm kind of new to this, you know, I'm not quite 200 years old yet, but when I looked into it, it is kind of amazing when you think about these people coming from, you know, the East Coast into this area and knowing where they were supposed to settle and how they marked off the properties. You know, now we have GPS. We know where we're going to be at any given moment by looking at our phones. But back then, it's a pretty amazing prospect when you think about it and how the community was divided
right.
up.
And I'm not sure whether, but many of it was forest, and they spent their time cutting down a lot of the trees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are many historical stories that go on. The Great Hinckley Hunt is one of the biggest ones that has to do with the clearing of the land and preparing it for settling. It was where groups of men formed in the east and in the west of the Hinckley area shot and killed most of the wild game, the bears, the coyotes, the wolves that were around that would have threatened, you know, a settlement. And the Great Hinckley Hunt was to kill that area off to make it more safe for people to live here. And that's, oddly enough, most people don't even know that's where the buzzards come from, because allegedly that happened in the fall. The carcasses of those animals stayed over the winter. The next spring, there was plenty of food for the turkey vultures, which are the buzzards that come right. back to Hinckley. So it was kind of a neat story that
lives on today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of a
absolutely.
Well-known event, and sort of just the way things...
And the prize was whiskey for everybody.
Oh.
The more you got was whiskey. So, you know, even that goes back 200 years, which is pretty good.
Right. Well, what things have been planned this year for the Bicentennial that you've done to kind of celebrate?
We kind of did a different approach. Some communities create these big, you know, spectacular events to celebrate. What we did was highlighted existing events and had everybody come together to help promote and to support each other's community events. Brunswick has a number of different organizations, community groups that do events on a regular basis here. So what it was just spotlighting and highlighting those events. We have had some extra events that have gone on. We had a vintage car show that came to Mapleside. A local resident came forward and sponsored that. Worked out really well. Would have worked out a little better. The first event was rained out, had to be postponed because if you remember the springtime around here, it was nothing but wet. And this was in a field, so people really didn't want to park their vintage cars in a swamp. So we had to wait until it dried out, and that was a successful event. We've done a lot with the Historical Society at Heritage Farm, which is located here at 4613 Laurel Road. The house itself, which houses the Historical Society's museum, had some structural problems with the foundation. It took about a four-year process of the group raising the funds and being able to get the work done. Ironically, it coincided this year, and we were able to reopen the museum this year in July to the public, so that's back open. So that was one of the big things for the Historical Society. In addition, we've done things along the lines of having historical speakers, people representing some of the early settlers that show up at the farmers market on every Sunday up at the Heritage Farm, and they've done those things. We've had a variety of events that have gone on along those lines. We've had spaghetti dinners. We've got Home Depot is going to be doing a safety day this weekend. There's also a 5K run, the Pumpkin Run, which is the first of its time here, or first of its kind here in Brunswick. Councilman Alex Johnson is has decided to do an annual 5K run. It's going to be at the Hambly Nature Center, which is right across the street from the rec center here. And that's going to be a fun event for the whole family. They're going to have activities for kids as well as the 5K for the adults and a one-mile walk, too.
Jeff, when people find out you work for the city of Brunswick, what kind of questions do they ask you about the community?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is the biggest compliment we get is there are a lot of volunteerisms here. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities here, and there is a great sense of community here in Brunswick. I mean, we have this event and working with this event to help out with the bicentennial planning was amazing how all of the community groups, every community has groups like the Kiwanis, the Rotary. It was amazing to see how all of them will work together on one project or help them out. So it's kind of an interesting aspect. I mean, that's one of the great things we have. From the city aspect, we get asked a lot of things like, what's going on with the roads? You know, things along those lines. You guys probably have noticed we're under construction a lot here in Brunswick, which is great. The city passed a road levy last year, so those dollars are finally coming in. In addition, there are some other projects, major projects like the 303 construction that's going on. So we try to keep the city up to date and informed along those. City has a pretty good presence on Facebook, along with the Historical Society, the Brunswick 200 Committee. So those are all available on Facebook. City does a great job with its website. Our department operates the city's website. And pretty much any information you need about the city is available there, which is a great thing.
You mentioned potatoes early on. What was next in that transition? Was there something else big that came along that took the city to another level?
Not really. I mean, it was really just the potatoes. I mean, the community spirit started. If you guys have a chance to drive to the intersection of State Route 303 and 42, there's a large church there, which is the Brunswick United Methodist Church. Actually, that intersection used to be a large circle. In the center of that circle was the common area. And there are so many photos available still of events that took place in the late 1800s, early 1900s, which is pretty amazing on its own that those things still exist around here. And there was a sense of community and pride in the community. A lot of great events that were going on, parades. We have photos from the 1800s of parades taking place up there. It's pretty amazing the types of things that happened here. Even one of the things that most people in the community don't realize is Westview Cemetery, which is just adjacent to our Fire Station 1, is the original cemetery here in town. And a lot of the original settlers are actually buried there. So it's kind of an educational trip through that. One of the interesting events that we did have happen this year is the Ohio Genealogical Society held a workshop here on preserving old headstones. And they actually brought a group of people in and trained people on how to preserve some headstones. And we got, you know, a couple of ours restored as part of that process. So that was great as well.
It's very interesting. Even when you have new construction, things go, many things, there's layers of history that take place through that where you think someone says, oh, that has been there a long time. And then you look back and, well, there used to be something there before that was there.
Right.
So there's always an evolution that takes place
in a
community. But it's always good to sort of keep some of the old things that you mentioned.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the Historical Society and the house that they have here. What interesting artifacts or things do they have there that people see when they come that kind of gets them involved in
this? One of the things I think that the Historical Society gets the most compliments on is the museum is a farmhouse. The original portion of that farmhouse was built in the 1800s. It was expanded, you know, over the years as farmhouses do. But the original portion is intact. It is set up as a house. It is not set up as a museum, so there aren't a lot of shelves and artifacts. It's set up with specific pieces of furniture. One especially that's pretty amazing is a bed that was created out of wood that was actually turned off of that property originally. It turned out that when they were first forming the Historical Society about 20 years ago, the original owners or the original settlers' descendants found out that was happening. They had this bed still in their possession and they donated it back. So it's kind of interesting. One of my personal favorite things is a hair wreath, which most people have never even heard of, but evidently when women used to, before you washed your hair every day like we do now, they used to brush their hair daily. Well, of course they had long hair, it fell out. They would save that and they actually formed it into small, almost like crocheted pieces, and they turned this into a wreath, and there is an 1800s hair wreath hanging there. And it sounds strange.
Right.
It's beautiful. It's very intricate. And it was like, you know, it's amazing what people used to do then.
Were they mostly brunettes or what would you?
There are different colors in it. That's what's kind of interesting. You know, there's some blonde, so it has variations of colors. Of course, being so old, I'm sure some of that has faded out. But when I saw that the first time, you know, I heard that somebody was donating this, and it actually is one of our current residents whose great-grandmother it belonged to. And it's pretty amazing. So there's some interesting things over there.
Actual historical DNA available.
Absolutely.
On there on display. That's neat. Before we went on, I was asking you, I was curious about the name Brunswick, and you said that that means...
It roughly means brown market. It's a German name, and from what we can tell through the historical aspects of it, it was adopted because everybody liked the way it sounded.
Okay.
They liked the way it rolled off the tongue. There was nothing specific that tied it to an individual or a person. It was just one of those words that came around, and when the when the town was originally formed, that's what they came up with.
Well, it has a lot of the good consonants. It's a good radio sound, you know, when you speak the word as Brunswick. It doesn't get confused with something else.
Right.
There's nothing, there isn't another city that someone says when they said that they think of it. So it obviously sort of stands on its own as well. Do you know the high school mascot is the Blue Devils?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that came from or any history behind that at all?
Do you know what? I do not know that I do not know
that. Right, because it's always interesting. Sometimes there's it comes from some other thing, and if people are, you know, well, sometimes when there's a devil involved, people kind of wonder about it, but if you look at maybe where it came from, it could be something different. But maybe that's something that we can still figure out in the little while we have left here as we have our spotlight on Brunswick. Our guest this morning, Jeff Neidert with the communications with the city. And again, when's the next event might be for the...
The next event is actually this weekend. This weekend will be the 5K Pumpkin Run over at the Nature Center. There's also Home Depot is having a safety fair at the same time across the parking lot from the 5K. So that's going to be a pretty congested area this weekend. And then next weekend, which is the 10th and 11th of October at Heritage Farm, will be the... Country Pumpkin Festival. It's the celebration of the end of the farmers market. It'll be the last farmers market on Sunday, and then there are also some crafters and other events for the family that weekend.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot more coming up as we continue with our spotlight. In fact, next hour we'll have somebody from Mapleside, which is a nice place out here in
Brunswick
that people like to see, especially during the fall with the foliage changing and the view that you can get from that location.